What we're going to do right now is we have pens going out, we have paper going out, just in case you don't have either. And the reason why we're doing that is because we're going to have a ton of info for you, and I would love for you to be able to write any of that down so you don't have to remember it. If it was up to me to remember all the things I was supposed to remember, I would fail at life. Kirsten Hall knows this. I hosed her the other day. I was totally late to a meeting. Because I suck at remembering stuff. So we got pens, we got paper, they're going around. We're going to have a ton of info up here for you. I want to talk a little bit about Worship Generation. A lot of you are new here. I see a lot of new faces. And a lot of people I got to meet on campus this week, which was really cool. But I want to talk about Worship Generation. That's the name of our community. And at first glance, it can seem like it's this ambiguous kind of generation, right? A people, a community, a generation of people in the process of worship, and that's true. And I love that about our name. I've loved actually hearing about our name from people who have been here longer than I have, because they have so much to say about like the beginnings of this community. But one thing that's really cool, one thing I love, is our name. Worship Generation. What's cool about that is in our name is this idea that we are in the generation of worship. In other words, we want to be constantly creating worship. We want to manifest that from our hearts. We want that to be a spiritual overflow. This generation of worship. We want to be in Worship Generation, and that's a really beautiful thing to me. We've talked a lot in this community about bringing about the kingdom. That's what we want to be. We want to be a people who bring the kingdom about. We're tired of just sitting around and waiting for Jesus to come back. Let's bring heaven to people. Let's bring heaven to people. And the scriptures tell us that for each person, for different people, are different things. Different things we're passionate about. It. Some people call them spiritual gifts. Some people call them different things. But what's true is that the Spirit is in us. Christ's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it's in us. And the Spirit makes us passionate about a lot of things. It makes us really passionate about a lot of things. It makes us really passionate about a lot of things. And each one of us is passionate about our own thing. There's just something in our life that we love to do. There's something in our life that we want to bring to other people. There's something in our life that we want to share with people. And that's what Generate's about. Because we don't want to make a list of things. We don't want to create a program and tell everyone to join up. What we want to do is we want to hear from your hearts. We want to hear from the Spirit through you. We want to know what you're passionate about, and we want to encourage you to do it. We want to encourage you to do what you're passionate about. And that's what Generate is. Generate is literally a group of a few people here in Worship Generation, and they've come forward and they said, look, this is what I really want to do. This is what God has made me passionate about right now. And I don't want to do it on my own, because I know other people are out there who want to do it too. I know other people out there are passionate. And I want to invite them to do it. And that's what Generate is. It is the people here in this community. It's you. It really is you. We have a list, actually, a moderately long list. It's been longer before, but this is a list of some of the groups that we have going on right now. And I want to invite all the people who kind of initiated some of these groups to come down and sit in the front, and we're going to have them share with you. But this is a list of groups, and people came forward and they said, this is what I want to do, this is what I'm passionate about. And I'd love for you to hear from their hearts, to hear from the Spirit through them. I'd love for you to hear about what they want to do, what they're passionate about. Because if you're passionate about that too, what we want you to do is contact them. We want you to go to them and say, hey, I really love that idea. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's bring about the kingdom. And so, who wants to go first? Do it. This is Sean. I used to live with this guy.
What's up, Adam? Well, hello, everyone. My name is Sean St. Clair. You can see the group that I will be more or less the spokesperson for is Orientation, second down on the left. It is named after an episode of Lost, if there's any Lost fans out there. That's half of the reason we named it. that. But anyway, so for any of you who were here last semester, you may have known we did a group called Areopagus. And the purpose of that group was to take a look at the world's religions and really just learn a lot about the other people of the world and, you know, take a look at what these people believe and examine belief systems in general and seek universal truths and kind of get a good idea for, you know, for what these people believe. And this group was more or less brought about with a conversation that Adam and I had had about how we're both planning on going into, like, full-time ministry as our jobs next year, hopefully. And neither of us have been to seminary, neither of us grew up in the church, and so there's a lot of, like, really weird theological things, Bible stories, etc., that we're not super familiar with. Like, we didn't really know the Father Abraham song until we did, like, a kids' camp a couple years ago, and everyone else knew it. And so that's kind of how it started, and we talked to Kevin about it, and he was feeling kind of like, you know, he thought it would be a good idea to have a group about it. And so we came up with, like, our purpose, and it's, like, it's a really well-worded, articulate purpose that Kevin came up with, and it's to gain knowledge of historical, spiritual, and theological precepts which have brought about our context and to include ourselves in the ongoing discussion, ultimately seeking to imply our lives and actions as a result. So what that kind of means, as far as how the group's going to go along, is we're planning on meeting Friday mornings, 8 a.m., at Augie's Coffee and Tea. And for those of you who don't know, Augie's is on Salem Street, kind of across from the Black Crow. It's a really cool little shop. And what we're planning on doing is we got together and we made a list of different theological topics, and we separated them out, and we're going to have that on Friday morning for any of you who want to come. And we're just going to go week by week and just have a really good discussion about, you know, what these topics are and what they mean, like, to the church historically. And some of them include, like, see, the historical basis of the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament, the theology about covenants, end times, heaven and hell, and salvation, along with some other stuff. So anyway, we're with Areopagus. One of the things that we kind of did is we had one person each week that would give more or less a talk about a different religion. For instance, Adam would do Buddhism, and, like, I did Judaism. And with this one, we have a person who's going to kind of, like, facilitate and lead the discussion. But as a group, we want to encourage everyone who comes to be a part of the discussion and do research on your own, you know, look in scripture, look in history books, online, Wikipedia, whatever. So that's going to be a big part about this. We want it to be more discussion-based. But at the same time, if you just want to come and hang out and be a fly on the wall, we really encourage that too. And I might have missed something. Is there anything you want to add, Kevin or Adam? No? Okay. My name's Sean. You can come and say hi. We'll talk if you want.
Thanks, Sean. Write that stuff down, guys. If that's something you're interested in, if that's something you're really passionate about too, write it down. Give Sean a call. Approach him. Who's next? Kristen Mack. The Kristen Mack attack.
Hi. I'm Kristen Mack. I'm doing two groups. And the first one I'm going to talk about, you need this book. It's called The Barbarian Way, and it's only for girls. Sorry, fellas. But it's not a girl book. It's a totally rad book. And I'm just going to read a little portion of it. You can think, hey, I want to do that. Okay. A barbarian invasion is taking place right now. They are coming from the four corners of the earth, and they are numbered among the unlikely. From the moment Jesus walked among us, the invasion began. And just as those who crossed paths with him here on earth, those who are most religious will be most offended and indignant. Barbarians are not welcome among the civilized and are feared among the domesticated. The way of Jesus is far too savage for their sensibilities. The sacrifice of God's Son, the way of the cross, the call to die to ourselves, all lack the dignity of refined faith. Why insist on such a barbaric way? Why a reckless call to awaken the barbarian faith within us at the risk of endangering this great civilization we have come to know as Christianity? I'll tell you. Because Jesus did not suffer and die so that we could build for ourselves havens comfy and cozy, but so that we might expand the kingdom of his love. Woot. That's this one. Monday night, it's up there, 8 p.m. till 9:30 at the Palmer House. Okay, starting September, 24th, okay. Then the next one is co-ed, once a month. It's called Centering Prayer. It's an ancient practice that they think started around the 360s, so it's like, you know, nice and ancient. This is a book I love very much called The Sacred Way, and it just kind of looks into our faith, and it's very rich in its history. And I'm going to read you a little something out of here. The call for centering prayer, the question that you begin with is, what do you do? You lift your heart up to the Lord with a gentle stirring of love, desiring him for his own sake and not for his gifts. You center all your attention and desire on him, and let this be the sole concern of your mind and heart. So that's kind of, I was reading this book, and I thought, that sounds really cool. Just a time to really slowly reflect. And it also incorporates your body. Don't be scared. But you use postures of expressing these thoughts to the Lord. And it's kind of abstract, so it's hard to explain. But say we were talking about thankfulness, suppose you might have and hold is like with your hands up. It's going to be, you know, a little different, but I think people really enjoy it. Once a month, Saturdays, not sure where. Here's a last thought about it. Centering prayer is an opening, a response, a putting aside of all the debris that stands in the way of our being totally present to the Lord so that he can be present to us. It is laying aside of thoughts so that the heart can attend immediately and only to him. This method neither replaces nor subjugates other forms of prayer, but in fact enhances them. Prayers of praise, petition, intercession, and the like of many, and they spring forth from gratitude, from a deep experience of God's love. So if you enjoy prayer, yoga type stuff, centering prayer once a month, Saturdays, the last Saturday of every month. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Kristen. Remember, guys, both of those start a little bit later. You can see up there, Centering Prayer starts the 29th. And we're going to have more info on that one as it comes up. We'll have a place and we'll have a time. Oh, that's just mean like that's when it meets first. Yeah? The first meeting. I could have put the first meeting. I could have put meets first. I didn't know what to do. I like it, Terry. Good question. And the other one's the 24th. Corey.
Hi, everyone. I'm Corey, and I'm not up there because I hadn't talked to Adam about this before, but something that I am passionate about is healthy living, which, of course, includes exercise and eating correctly. And so I've just been throwing around the idea with Kristen and a couple of the other girls around here, and I thought, what if we met in the park once a week, did a couple yoga poses together, talked about healthy eating and how to choose you know, just different ideas, like are the 100-calorie packs good for you or not, or are you going to eat 3 of the 100-calorie packs and totally blow it like I do. But I had 3 boys in 38 months. I'm a little bit older than you guys. I just turned 30 yesterday. So I had 3 boys in 38 months and gained a pound for each of those months. And so at the end of that, I needed to take care of that and make sure I was healthy. And I don't care about what anybody's body looks like, what their weight is or anything, but if you're healthy, you're going to live longer, most likely. And so I cry out to my family all the time, please get exercise and please, you know, try to eat with wise choices. And so I don't know if anybody's interested. I don't know if anybody would be interested in meeting and doing that kind of thing together, regardless of weight. That doesn't have anything to do with it. This is not a dieting thing. This would be exercising together and encouraging one another. I paid for a personal trainer. Girls go to Jenny Craig, stuff like that. Why not encourage each other and do it together? And, you know, just it doesn't not, and again, not weight thing, just an encouragement. We need to talk about our body image and how we feel about each other. That has to do with it too. So I don't know if anybody's interested. If so, come up, talk to me afterwards, and we'll work on a time, maybe once a week, meet in the park, walk together, be together, and encourage one another.
Thanks, Corey. Especially for Corey, find her before you leave if you're interested in that. Let her know, and you guys can get stuff planned out from there. Kirsten.
couple months ago, that's how I would have been up here. I wouldn't have said a word. I'm nervous now. My voice is shaking, but at least I'm talking, right? That's why I started my group, Cornerstone, the only one up on the list that you can't really read the name of, Adam. Thanks. It's a good job. Anyway, I started my group because I know I'm not the only one that feels nervous talking to people, being in fellowship. So.
That's what it looked like before.
Well, we'll work. Maybe next time we meet for coffee, if you show up. Sorry. Anyway, the point is, I want to help whoever's here that feels nervous, you're having a hard time connecting, your comfort zone is in the back or against the wall where nobody's going to talk to you and you can just leave afterwards, because that's where I used to sit for about a year. So if you are like that, if you're looking for fellowship, if you're having a hard time really stepping out and connecting, come talk to me. Come to my group. We're meeting tomorrow night. We're having dinner. 6 o'clock at my house. There's a card out on the table with information. You can get a hold of me. But this is really about just helping you guys feel comfortable. Sooner or later, God's going to call all of us to be leaders and not just followers. And we're not going to be very effective if we're scared to talk or scared to even pray with other people or be honest. So we're starting with the simple things. We're going to have fellowship together. We're going to eat together. We're going to pray together. We're going to serve others together. And just help each other and strengthen each other. So if you are interested, please come talk to me.
Thanks, Kirsten. I am going to talk for Ben and Liz. They can't be here. They actually just got married this weekend. So that was really cool. And they're away right now and for obvious reasons can't share. But if you've ever seen Ben or Liz dance, it's an amazing thing. It's really cool. And those guys are great at it, and they are really, really passionate about it. They love dancing, and they love to like encourage people to dance. I know Ben takes time out every week to show people how to dance, and they just love doing it. They love giving that to God. They love doing that with people, and it's such a great part of their life. And they want that to be a part of other people's lives, and they know it can be nerve-wracking or expensive to learn how to dance. And if you're passionate about it, talk to them. Give them a call after this week. Not this week. They're away. Give them a call after this week. I know they'd love to hear from you. They'd love to find out who's going to be able to come. They're still trying to find a place to do it at, but I know we're going to be able to help them out on campus, I think. And he's thinking, did I write it up there? There it is. He's thinking most likely Tuesdays are going to work for him, but that'll depend on when we can get facilities or something. But give Ben a call sometime next week. I know he'd love to hear from you. Or Liz, her number's up there too. It's the longer one. I know they love to hear from you. So, also, they're meeting for the first time here. This is on Sunday the 9th, and it's going to be right after Worship Gen. It'll be over in like the overflow room probably. That's a good place to talk to them as well, because then they'll be able to plan when you guys will meet. Like, I know Ben wants to know like what skill level everyone's at, because he wants to be able to accommodate everyone. And they're really passionate about it. I know they love doing it, and they love teaching people. And so, yeah, do that. It'll be awesome. Chris? I like Chris.
I like you too. Hello. I'll be kind of heading up two groups as well. The first one called... No. The first one is called Simplicity, and sorry. So it was started last semester as a practical way to share the gospel in doing things for people in our fellowship and people in the community. We were able to hook up with someone who kind of led us in the direction to do certain events around the community. We got together with like four other college fellowships and some other churches to go into Chapmantown and to clean up down there, and we helped some single moms and stuff like that with their yard work. we were able to also serve at a young mom's fundraiser tea. Some of the guys helped out with that, and that was a good time. We got to move a couple of the gals, Margo and Rebecca. We got to help them move, and somebody else here. So it's just doing practical things like that. If you're interested in doing that, and you want to be available on a regular basis, you know, you can see me. Most likely, the nature of the ministry is pretty random, because God will, you know, bring things up. If you guys have ideas, or if you know somebody that needs help, let me know, and I can try and set some up. If you want to be on a call list, you can do that. Otherwise, most likely, every time something comes available, I will announce it. So, you know, if you have opportunity to help out, and you might not always be able to help out, but you feel led to do that specific, you know, task, then just, you know, get with me after I announce it. So that's it for Simplicity. And the other thing is I am going to do a men's thing. Kristen's doing the women's only, and I'll be doing the men's, where if we're probably going to be going through the book of Romans, and it'll be more discussion-oriented, kind of like Interact on Thursday nights. And I don't know the details yet, but I'll let you know more. So if you know, if that sounds like something you want to do, guys, if you want to get together and hang out and discuss going through that book, let me know. And maybe I'll find out a night that works best for all of us, and we can do that. So that's it. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Becca's hiding out here somewhere, but I would love to share about what she's so excited to do. I found out that we have a creative writer in our midst, and she loves checking out God's word, and really she wants to explore God as an author in Scripture. She wants to find out how he writes, how he tells stories, and that's a really exciting thing. It's an exciting thing to look at a narrative and explore you know, how that's written out, what things are used, and I don't know all the big fancy words for it, but it's really cool. She wants to look at genres, I know too, outside of just the specific ones we know, you know, like oh, this is an epistle, and oh, this is revelatory scripture, you know, but just different genres that God uses in each of his stories, and I know she's excited to take a look at all of that. She's going to spend a while, and for I think the first month, it's just going to be like just an exploration of Scripture and finding that out. But I know what she eventually hopes to move it on to is a sharing of each other's work, is actually creatively writing and applying a lot of the things that they found out of Scripture to that. And I know she's really excited to do this. She'd love to hear from you if that's something that you're interested in doing. Her name's Becca. You can give her a call. You can meet with her. She should be down here afterwards. And then you can talk to her and find out more about it, because she's going to be able to express that so much better than I am. But do that if that's something that you would love to check out.
Hey, Kevin.
Kevin likes to hide like a cat in the trees. He just lays down over there like Zeus, though. He does like this pose. It's really funny. Here you go, Kev.
I don't really like public speaking much. I'm not kidding either. If you don't know, I never actually planned to lead this thing. I just wanted to see it happen. And then for about 2 years, I actually thought someone else would show up and take over, and no one ever did. So that's as you can see up there, and if you've been around for a while, you know, I like movies a lot. I think it boils down to a really simple and fundamental level, in a way that God is creative. In fact, the first thing he tells us about himself is, in the beginning, God created. God's an artist. And artists make stuff. We're made in the image of God, and we make images. We have, within this community, a lot of different kinds of artists and a lot of different kinds of art. Film I like particularly as a way in which art is expressed, because it embodies and encompasses so many different kinds of art and can affect on so many levels. Not only is it a story being told, but there's sound and there's sight, and there's all these different ways that your senses are being are taken by those things. And while a lot of people, I think, just judge things like movies on their content alone, I try to reach to the ideal of judging them on their intent, meaning what was the artist intending to do with that piece or with that work. Because a lot of times really sick and twisted stuff can be put in a movie or in a book, but we never look beyond the fact that, say, it's sick and twisted, or we disagree with it morally, so then we just push it away and sort of damn it outright. But if the artist's point is not to get you to embrace that stuff, instead if it's to show you something that might reflect something true in you, then that's the sort of discussion we've had in a lot of different ways. Anyway, I've discovered, and I've found it to be true, that the greatest art throughout all time always cries out for the same things, always expresses the same things, always is searching for the same things. And so that's what this series of The Gospel According to Whatever has been. Two semesters ago, we did The Gospel According to Disney. We looked at 10 different Disney films from their earliest through the late 50s and looked at the themes represented there and how they resonate with mankind's cry for God. We also, just last semester, did The Gospel According to Anime and took on specifically works of Japanese animation and some different artists there and looking at the things that they are continually sensitive to and continually trying to portray. And this is a rewarding thing. If you've never seen it done that way, or if you've never watched a movie that way, you know, a lot of times we sort of just watch movies or whatever to be amused. Amuse means not to think, negating muse. So amuse, right? But I found it's more rewarding to look for God in all things, to practice the discipline of sacred vision, to practice the art of listening to God when God is desiring to speak, which is always and everywhere. Even in things we disagree with, even in things that are bad, we can still listen to and hear God. And so, anyway, this semester, The Gospel According to Film. What this means is, it's just in general. It's gonna be a mixed bag. It's gonna be a wild bunch of different things. But we're going to be looking thematically at a bunch of different movies with varying types of content and direction. And so that basically consists of you showing up on a Tuesday night around 7:30 or 8. I haven't decided exactly yet. If you're interested, I want you to help me form that time. But we go into the room across the way and we all watch a movie together. We discuss it together. We sometimes read essays on it together. If a lot of times I'll write something just in advance, having watched the movie before, and this is why it was picked, this is why it's selected. But it's something I'm really particularly excited to do as someone who appreciates storytelling and that we keep telling the same story over and over again because it's the only one that affects us and resonates with us as people. So if you're interested in that, you can talk to me afterwards. And I also want to mention that you'll notice as people talk that these generate groups have varying levels of involvement and varying levels of commitment. And so that's a good thing, you know, for people's schedules, however they lie, there's some way that, you know, you can make time or be involved in something that you're passionate about usually. And I just really like that it's not all regimented to the same exact thing. Not everything's weekly. Not everything requires anything of you except to show up. So keep that in mind, that we're trying to serve you as best as we can, and I know all the people who are looking to do something feel the same way. But not only talk to people about showing up or being involved, but definitely there's stuff that's saying, like, you know, in a few weeks or whatever, and that's the case for a lot of these groups. That's because you can be instrumental in helping form what they are or when they are and how they are, and that's the idea, that it's not all just up to one person. That's all I have to say.